Prepare to set fire to the index card of allowable opinion. Your daily dose of liberty education starts here, The Tom Woods Show.
Hey, everybody, welcome to The Tom Woods Show, episode 2396. We're joined by the great John Bush. And if you've been around this world for any length of time, chances are, at one time or another, your paths have crossed with John Bush. I've known John since 2007. It doesn't look like he was even alive in 2007. The guy's got this youthful vigor and energy and look to him. But I got to know him during the Ron Paul campaign, and I guess both of them. And then over the years, I've followed what he's been up to, and he's followed what I've been up to. And we've stayed in touch more or less over the years. And I'm always glad to have a chance to talk to him. I want to spend some of the time talking about items particular to him, because he's got a story that a lot of folks could stand to hear. But I do also want to talk about this Oliver Anthony matter. And Oliver Anthony is actually the grandfather's name, and nobody's paying attention to that. They're all calling him Oliver. We'll call him Oliver just for simplicity, even though in his interview with Jordan Peterson insisted on calling him Chris. Doesn't matter. Just so that everybody has got this all clear. I want to talk a little bit about him. I did get a chance to check out the interview he did with Jordan Peterson, and I'm a bit more sympathetic to him after watching that. But John, welcome back. Glad to talk to you.
Hey, thanks for having me, Mr. Dom.
All right, let's start with this matter, and then I want to transition into a conversation about you and your situation, because I remember back when you were running Brave New Books in Austin, Texas.
Uh-huh, yep.
And I remember thinking, he's running a libertarian bookstore. Now, bookstores already have impossibly narrow margins. I can't imagine how he's making this work. And so anyway, so we're going to get into how you went from that. And, you know, a passion project, of course. So you did that because you believe in the cause, but you also got to make a living. And sometimes those two things can't be done simultaneously. Sometimes they can, but they have to take a different form. So we're going to talk all about that. But anyway, so this fellow emerges onto the scene not all that long ago with this song, Rich Men North of Richmond. Now, I hadn't even listened to this. You know what? To be honest with you, although I've read the lyrics, I haven't listened to the song all the way through. It's not my style at all. That's just, it has no appeal to me whatsoever from a musical standpoint. And there's a big portion of the interview with Jordan Peterson that's talking about country western music, and I just want to jump out a window. I'm sorry, it doesn't do anything for me. I love all the people who listen to me who like that music, that has no problem. We can still be friends. That doesn't do anything for me. But I remember initially thinking, well, this is a good thing that a song like this is resonating, because it seems like he's pinpointing the right people. So he's not saying it's this group in society that's the problem, and so these two groups ought to be pitted against each other. When he talks about rich men north of Richmond, it seems like he's talking about people who populate the regime itself. So it's good to identify. So we're not generically attacking rich people per se. It's a particular class of rich people who don't really have a claim on that wealth and who got it in a disreputable way. It would be nice to see that spelled out a little bit more clearly, but I'll take what I can get. But since that time, some people in our world have wondered if maybe they ought to have second thoughts about him because of some of his comments since then and some of the things he's been doing. And so I thought, let's hash this all out. I mean, even the message people might accidentally be taking from him, I want to talk about. So first of all, like, what are your general impressions of this whole phenomenon, John?
Well, as soon as I heard the song, I was captivated by it and caught on to it early on as it started to go viral. And then it just went mega viral. And honestly, I thought that it was a good indicator that people are coming around and uniting against a common enemy, as he calls it, the rich men north of Richmond, right? And so, of course, I got out the map. Like, I think he's talking about Washington, D.C. Sure enough, yep. D.C.'s right there north of Richmond. He's not attacking rich people per se, although, as I'm sure we'll get into, there does seem to be this poverty mindset that he has, which plagues a lot of people in the liberty community. But I think he correctly drew that distinction, like Murray Rothbard, right? You got the parasitic political class versus the productive class. So I thought it was exciting. You know, he makes references to the Epstein Island stuff. And I thought it was like, okay, here we have a good working class anti-establishment anthem. And the fact that it went so viral, I think, is a good indicator that the ideas not necessarily the ideas of freedom, but just that people are recognizing that Washington, D.C. is screwing everybody over and we should be pissed off about it.
Yeah. So I'm all for that. Then he got a little bit concerned that people thought he was a right winger. He doesn't want that. And then apparently he made a statement about diversity being our strength. So people then accused him of being a left winger. And he's trying to say that he's not a winger at all. He's just a localist, which is fair enough, I suppose. I kind of feel like it's a little bit of a cop-out because he obviously has a series of ideas. And it's true that there are a lot of people, myself included, whose ideas do not comfortably fall under either conservative or liberal. But when he says, I'm middle of the road, I'm right down the middle, I don't think he is. I don't think that's the best way to describe it. I don't think looking at Democrats and Republicans that the solution is other than those two, but it's not in the middle of those two. It's some other sphere, some other realm. But I'm not going to get upset at him for not having super precision in describing his political views. I mean, all this stuff landed on his head like a month ago. And I don't expect him to be the world's greatest spokesman. But I do want to talk a little bit about the way he looks at the world and the way he looks at economics a little bit. Because for one thing, he's been saying, I've been getting all these offers, millions and millions of dollars, and I've rejected them because I want to be in control of my own destiny. I don't want to be singing in front of 80,000 people or whatever. That's just not my thing. I think one of the things that is wrong with society these days is that we've lost this one-on-one interpersonal kind of relationships. And I'm happy to have absolutely free meet and greets afterward, even if I'm there 4.5 hours and I'll do it for free because I want to restore this lost human element. Well, there's nothing, capitalism doesn't say he's not allowed to do that. He's allowed to do whatever he wants because of self-ownership. So I think some of our people think that if he's not maximizing his monetary income, he's therefore somehow breaking some law. But he's not. I mean, he could get richer if he would behave differently. But to him, it's a consumption good that he's enjoying not to do those things, but instead to preserve the kind of experiences for the audience and for himself as an independent artist that he'd like to have. So I don't fault him for that.
Yeah, it's like the psychic value, right, that Rothbard talked about. So my initial thing, as soon as I saw him and I saw the lyrics, and he's got this song, Ain't Got a Dollar, But I Don't Need a Dime. So he's almost priding himself in being poor, right? And of course, money won't bring you happiness, but poverty sure as heck ain't going to bring you happiness either. And I've been both poor and somewhat well off, and I most definitely prefer the latter. So my worry for this guy was like, wow, here we have somebody that is a good musician. He's really struck a chord and has put into context or just kind of synthesized this angst that Americans are having against the ruling class. And so the guy really nailed it. And my initial worry was like, okay, because he has this weird money mindset, and it's obvious that he wants to not be rich and that he prides himself in this whole impoverishment, it seems, I just worried like he's going to miss out on some opportunities to build some wealth. And, you know, good people that accumulate capital and wealth are able to deploy it to do good things. So if he's some man of the people, might as well seize the opportunity. And you could do it in a tactful way. You don't have to get all greedy. But if you could accumulate wealth, you could then deploy that wealth to reach more people, to help more people. And I just worry, again, a lot of people shoot themselves in the foot because they have that mindset piece. The mindset is absolutely critical. And if you're against money or if you think it's evil to have money or having money somehow makes you tied in with the rich men north of Richmond, then you're just quickly going to dispel wealth from your life as opposed to attracting it.
Right. The people who are making your life miserable do not have these scruples. They're not worried at all about these problems. And it's not, we shouldn't have scruples about this. Even if you don't like the money, you can always give it away. Even if you don't like having money, I bet there's some cause you believe in that could benefit from that money. Then give it away. If you feel like you can't touch it, you're morally superior and you can't touch it, then give it away. Give it to somebody. Give it to some cause that is desperate for it. Because the what I would consider to be the quote unquote other side doesn't hesitate to do that. So we shouldn't hesitate to do that. I like there was a moment in the interview with Peterson where Peterson talks to him in a almost fatherly way and says, look, I was kind of thrown into sudden fame. I'm a kind of unlikely person to have that kind of fame, just like you. I mean, I'm a academic in some university. I mean, nobody expects in that position to be traveling the world, speaking to thousands of people at a time. And he said, but for a long time, I was doing my own thing. I wasn't attached to anybody. And just like you, you know, not accepting all these $1 million offers. But then I realized that I can reach more people. I can have more effect. I can be more comfortable. I can have somebody taking care of my lodging and my flights and all these logistical things. And I've been able to hook up with institutions that take care of these things without compromising my independence. He told him, you should think about that, that you can still maintain your integrity and not feel like you have to reject absolutely every offer that comes to you because that would make you impure, that that's not reasonable, that you don't need to do that. But you mentioned this song, Ain't Got a Dollar. And so it goes something like, ain't got a dollar, but don't need a dime. And the idea is I've got everything I need and it's right here. And there's nothing strictly wrong with that. It is true. The best things in life are free. You can't buy love, right? You can't buy reliability and honesty. And so I absolutely get that. But at the same time, I don't want the people I'm trying to reach to be humming along to a song called Ain't Got a Dollar. I don't want that message being reinforced. Even if you don't enjoy having wealth and you'd rather just have nothing and be sitting around a campsite, you believe in a cause that is struggling to have victories because it's starved of resources. So even if you don't want it, maybe help the rest of us who need it and can put it to good use. So I almost feel like the ruling class does not mind if somebody like this becomes popular and just kind of gets people in the mindset of, well, you know, who really needs it anyway? I think that feeds into a defeatist mentality, and it feeds into, I'll just be blunt, and I know people, I can imagine the comments section after I say this, it feeds into a loser mentality, of which we, unfortunately, we have a strong sliver of that in our movement. It's almost like if you have money or you're making it, there's something kind of suspicious about you. I say take that commie propaganda someplace else.
I'm with you completely. And, you know, I've been an activist for over 20 years now. And for the large bulk of that time, I was impoverished and really struggling financially. And there was even a point when I started to do well with some entrepreneurial endeavors. I've been self-employed since 2009. And I remember even thinking like, whoa, I don't want to make more money because that means I'll have to pay more taxes and I'll effectively be funding our enemies, right? Now, of course, I had children then, and that completely threw that nonsense out the window. But yeah, I think the irony is within our libertarian community, everybody understands free markets and is very much in favor of capitalism. But then when people that care about freedom have an offer to make to the marketplace and they're like, hey, I'll teach you how to live more free. I'll teach you to understand economics. We'll teach you how to create an entrepreneurial opportunity for yourself or whatever. People all of a sudden assume that we should give that information away for free. And so there's a huge disconnect there. And I do think you're right. This whole mindset of I ain't got a dollar and I don't need a dime. I mean, really, you definitely need more than a dime. And it's all like, what are your goals in life? So on the one hand, just taking care of your family, if you're just barely eking by, you are not doing a good job of making sure that there's security there because crap happens all the time. Accidents, cancer, run-in with the law, whatever, maybe lawsuits if you're a business person. And that really takes a toll on your bottom line. And so for someone to just be eking by, you're putting yourself in a position where you can introduce some major struggle, not to mention a desire to take care of your parents if they didn't prepare for themselves or to be somebody that supports community members when they're in need or gives to causes, right? So that's just taking care of the family. But like I was saying, you extend it beyond that. We're all activists. We care about freedom. We see what's going on in the world, not just the terrible policies of the government, but like this treacherous kind of conspiratorial technocracy stuff and the Great Reset. We should have a desire to produce income in excess of what we need, and not just what we need for our own basic wants and needs, but also to build wealth for ourselves. And then we should be able to give back and support our community and amplify the voices of people that are bringing about change in the world. It's all about people being able to deploy capital. And one thing about money is, you know, it's an indicator of success financially, but we don't want to be materialistic. Like you said, the best things don't cost money. The connection, the family, looking in a newborn's eyes, being there for your brother, sibling when they're struggling, that's really more important than anything. And it doesn't take money. But that being said, the lack of money does create an environment where people are more susceptible to major problems. And I think it's important that people recognize that And again, the mindset, I can't hit that hard enough, that the mindset piece, if you have a weird feeling about money or the parents would argue about money over the dinner table and you as a youth would hear that and now you associate pain and struggle with money, you got to get that clear because the mindset's everything. Before you learn the tactics and the strategies and how to make money or how to what to do when you have money, how to grow wealth, you got to make sure that your money mindset's in place. Or like I said earlier, you're just going to dispel money. It's even when you accumulate money, it's just going to get wasted. You're going to throw it away because you don't think you deserve it. All sorts of stuff. There's a lot of energy tied up around money for sure.
Hey, everybody, let's take a minute to thank our sponsor, Monetary Metals. This is a company I've been using for a year or two, and it's fantastic. Now, if you're like me, you probably own some gold. But also, if you're like me, wherever you have that gold stored, it's probably just sitting there, not really doing much for you. If anything, it might be racking up storage fees so that over time you wind up with less rather than more. But what if you could put that gold to work for you? I mean, what if you could get it to do something for you? And that's exactly what Monetary Metals is all about. You can grow your gold year after year with Monetary Metals, which offers interest on gold paid in more ounces of physical gold. You can earn 2 to 5% on gold and silver in their leasing program, which supports qualified gold-using businesses. And if you're an accredited investor, you can earn higher returns, think double digits, in their gold bond offerings. All the interest is paid in physical ounces of gold, so your total ounces grow and compound year after year. So over a 10-year period, for example, 2.5% annual, 100 ounces becomes 128. At 3%, 100 ounces becomes 134. At 4%, 100 ounces becomes 148. You get the idea. They've been at this for 7 years. Jeff Deist, formerly of the Mises Institute, recently joined forces with them. Their vice president of relationships, Addison Quayle, has been at my house. He's been a friend of the Tom Woods Show. I've seen him at conferences all over the place. These are our people, and they're doing something really, really creative and important. So start saving and earning in gold. Go to monetary-metals.com/woods to learn more about how to get started with your account. Don't forget the hyphen. That's monetary-metals.com/woods. There's a book called The Millionaire Mind by T. Harv Eker. And at the beginning of that, he talks about all the bad ideas about wealth that people might hold. And a lot of times these are ideas they inherit from their families. Their families aren't doing well, so they come up with rationalizations for this that all involve money just being wicked anyway, or the whole game is rigged and an honest man can't, whatever it is. And if you imbibe those, then it's hopeless. You're not going to get anywhere because you're going to sabotage yourself because you don't believe that you can do anything. Or we all have this inner critic that is telling us we're not good enough. Nobody cares what we do. Nothing we do would ever amount to anything. That's paralyzing. And John, I used to think that mindset, all this talk about mindset, I used to think this was all like woo-woo BS. Like, okay,
yeah,
just tell your mind that you're going to go do something and then there's your mindset course. But that was really wrong because I keep encountering people who, if they just had a different mindset, the opportunities before them are incredible. Now, in terms of having capital and being able to do stuff, I am trying in my own limited way because I'm just a guy with some degrees, really. I can do public speaking and I write. I have some talents, but I'm just one person. But I'm trying to do
pretty
what I can.
Captivating, Tom.
I beg your pardon?
You're pretty captivating.
Well, that's very kind of you to say,
Don't sell yourself short here, Mr. Woods.
Likewise, I appreciate that. But all the same, I am still, as Homer Simpson would say, I am still, and then he counts himself, one man. But I am trying. So I've done things like I have Liberty Classroom, and so I can't fix Yale University's history department, but I can go around it. I can teach real history through libertyclassroom.com or, you know, all these other subjects or the Ron Paul curriculum. It took me, that's a K-12 curriculum, ronpaulhomeschool.com. It took me 2 years to create the hundreds and hundreds of videos that I did for the Ron Paul curriculum. It was 2 years of my life where I did the podcast barely, but I basically put my life on hold for 2 years for that cause. Now, how was I able to do that? How could I possibly put my life on hold? Because I had the ability, I had the money to do it. I would not have been able to do those things. And I consider that to be very worthwhile. I am extremely proud of the work I did for the Ron Paul curriculum that I think any adult could benefit from in addition to high school students. But I couldn't have done these things if I hadn't built something up. Like Liberty Classroom, I had to pour $50,000 into that to make that go. And then I remember the very first week it opened, I had people demanding that it be free. And I thought, you're just a loser. You know, so I'm supposed to just pour $50K in like for like it's nothing. And by the way, I donate a ton of money to these causes, by the way. Okay. I have given away more money than you could possibly believe. So I don't hesitate to do that. But I have faculty to pay who put in hours and hours and hours of work, who are busy, who have families. They deserve compensation. And the entire site, I'm charging less than you would pay for one credit hour at a community college. So that mentality of I'm entitled to everything for free and you're a bad guy if you don't supply it to me, that's wrong. But also, again, to accomplish anything, I needed to be in a position where it could happen. And so if I'd been sitting around humming, ain't got a dollar, nothing would have happened for me. And all these good things that I think I have been able to do would have died on the vine.
Yep. Yeah, it's a common thing. And I know it irks both of us because we do educational workshops and online courses and people just expect it to be free or they give you a hard time for charging money. We know those that pay, pay attention. And so I always challenge people, we work it into all our sales pages and emails, and especially if I'm doing a live webinar, to really make it clear, like, guys, if you are going to pay for this material, it greatly increases the likelihood that you're going to consume it. Don't see it as an expense or you're losing out on something, you're losing money. Rather, see it as an investment in yourself. And time and time again, this whole concept of those that pay, pay attention plays out. The first Exynet Build Land Summit that we did, which we invited Oliver Anthony to perform at our next Land Summit, by the way. I hope we're able to capture him, or hopefully he had, I mean, we would be happily pay the guy for sure.
Yeah. I don't know how you get through to him though. He's getting a million messages is the problem.
Yeah. It's probably nuts. But the first Land Summit we did, we had like 28,000 people register for it to watch for free. So it was a 2-day event. We gave away the first day for free. The second day was more immersive. We had Joel Salatin speak and it was a paid day. And so the tickets were like $127 for the virtual pass. You get the replays, all these bonuses, yada, yada, yada. So of the people that signed up for free, when it came showtime, 5% of those 28,000 showed up to watch for free. Of the people that paid, it was like 45% that showed up. So, and that proves out time and time again. We do free webinars. We even have like a VIP pass for the webinar, or we do a paid offer. And it's always the people that pay are more than likely to actually commit and participate. And the more that they pay, the more likely they are to take it seriously. So I always want to challenge people to invest in themselves, to cut through that money stuff, to understand there's a lot that goes into things on the end of the producer, like you were saying. I mean, we have a staff of like 14 or 15 people, some full-time, some contractors. We have this nice facility, like we're in a studio here. Let me just show you. This stuff costs money. Like, here's our little studio facility. And we pay like $4,000 rent for this place that we have here. And we do work to help people. And so for people to expect us to give it away for free, well, for one thing, you too, Tom. Like, you give away tons of free content.
All I do is give away things for free.
Yeah. But people want all the stuff for free. So
yeah,
I just want to
encourage people. But you know, I don't get that so much anymore because I have gone out of my way to repel these people.
Oh, there you go.
I don't want any hammer and sickle in my community. So I've gone out of my way to repel these people and to try to attract people who want to do similar things. And you can't always, you and I are very lucky in that we have overlap between what we believe in deeply and also how we make a living. Now, I make a living in like 27 different ways behind the scenes and I can't even keep track of them all. But I'm able to do these things that bring me great satisfaction personally. And I can also feel like I'm accomplishing something. I've helped people start businesses. I've helped them get books published. And I feel very, very satisfied about that. And a lot of it I do for free. And the thing is, I want to also point out, I'm always learning new things. Like you might think, well, I've been working for myself for a long time. So you might think I've just got this thing mastered and I don't need to learn anything. But I do. There's always new things I can learn. So I bought Russell Brunson's new book, The Linchpin, and it cost me $8. The information in that book is worth a fortune.
Oh, yeah.
An absolute fortune. It is going to transform the way I do everything. And I read the whole thing on board a flight, and it was just like, have you ever seen the movie Young Frankenstein? The Gene Wilder character is the grandson of Dr. Frankenstein, and he's embarrassed by his grandfather doing all this crazy reanimating dead tissue nonsense. We all know in the medical community that can't be done. But there he is in his grandfather's castle. And he finds the grandfather's book that is interestingly entitled, How I Did It. And he's reading this book late into the night. And suddenly he lifts up his head and says, "It could work." And that was exactly how I was reading the Russell Brunson book. And I just can't wait to implement this stuff. I find this all fascinating. And it's not like everything Russell Brunson teaches or any of the stuff that I release works only if you have an online information business. These are ideas that are working in terrestrial businesses, brick and mortar, subscription businesses, whatever. But I'm always learning. And because I'm always learning, every year for me is better than the previous one. And no matter what people who don't like me try to throw at me, and boy, do they throw things at me, it doesn't matter because I ignore them, I stay focused on my mission, and every year I do better. And if I do better, the way I translate that is I'm helping more people, I'm informing more people, I'm helping people think about themselves in a different way, the way I had to do. I had to get out of thinking of myself as being solely a consumer. Now, there's nothing wrong with consuming, but I also had to think of myself as somebody who had something to contribute. I could also be a producer. I had to get myself into that mentality. In my School of Life program, there's a woman who started going to our small groups where we help each other accomplish our goals. And she said, "I had no goal. I just thought, well, I'm a member of this thing. I might as well use this feature, the small groups." And so she said that within a few sessions, she realized what her goal was. She was going to release a cookbook. And it was a cookbook for people who, you know how you try a recipe and you decide you don't really like it, but you had to buy a weird spice that you're never going to use again. And, you know, you spent 10 bucks on it and you used it once and it's there in your pantry. Like, we've all been there. She said, the beauty of my recipes in this book is it's like the same half dozen ingredients for everything. So you don't have that problem of the spice you never use again, you know, or the implement that sits in your drawer forever. And I thought, that is brilliant. And she came up with that. Why? Because she was surrounded by ambitious people who gave her ideas. And then once she got the idea, these people encouraged her, helped her make connections, taught her things she didn't know before. You really are who surrounds you. And I've gone out of my way to try to be surrounded by people who, if I were to not talk to them for 6 months and then talk to them again, they'd be doing all new, interesting things. It wouldn't just be, "Yeah, I'm doing the same old thing and ain't got a dollar." They're doing interesting new things all the time. Now, I'm not saying that everybody has to have his own business. Everybody has to be an entrepreneur. Not necessarily. That's not for everybody. But at the very least, even if we are in a traditional kind of employment, there are all kinds of ways we can achieve advancement through improving our own skills, through learning how to, I mean, for instance, at many different lines of work, many industries, if you simply have a blog, even in this day and age where blogs seem kind of passe, if you have a blog where you review recent books in your field, or you talk about upcoming events or news items, you'd be the only person at that firm doing that. So that when it comes time to hand out the pink slip, they're not gonna hand it to you. So in other words, there are things, if you're just alert to new and interesting ideas, you can better position yourself in traditional employment, or you can be getting ahead on your own. But the key thing to me is, like, let me give an example. I'm sorry I'm talking so much, John. I'll give you an example. Example would be Michael Malice. Now, Michael Malice is a very unlikely entrepreneur in some ways, and he's done it in a way that I do not think can be replicated by others. He is one of the most original people out there, whether you love him or hate him. The great thing about Malice is you either love him or you hate him. You are not lukewarm about Michael Malice, and that's just where you want your people to be. You're either hot with me or you're cold and you're against me. And if you're cold, you can go your own way. But if you're hot, I want you to stay with me on this journey. And Malice basically built himself up. Well, you know, he did come on got the old Tom Woods Show bump. Let's point that out.
It's a good bump.
He's such a personality that he's running his own thing on the basis of himself as the product. He's the product. It's not his books. It's not his podcast. It's him. It's an extraordinary thing what he's done. And so, yeah, he's a fascinating person to stay in contact with because it's always something new with him. He's always telling me about new things he's up to, and I'm sharing with him new things I'm up to. And neither one of us stays stagnant, and that helps both of us progress to the future. Isn't this the kind of spirit and mentality that we need to have among libertarians? We need people who are just, you know, they've got creative ideas, but they don't just sit on the ideas. They implement them and they're excited about it and they figure out ways to promote them and have people hear about them. All right, let me take a drink of water so you can talk, Josh.
I actually met Michael Malice at a party recently, and I name dropped Old Woods. I was like, oh yeah, I've heard about you. I'm buddies with Tom Woods. And he said, oh, I'm sorry to hear that.
That's typical. Well, you both live in the, you don't live in Austin proper, but you're close enough.
It was a party in Austin. This guy, Patrick Friedman's house. He moved here. He does a lot of work with Free Private Cities and stuff.
Oh yeah, I met him in Brazil once.
In Austin. It's really got it going on. No, I'm totally with you. I think a lot of people are disempowered, and it seems like it's easier to just stay stuck in the victim mentality. So you don't have to take responsibility for the position that you find yourself in. And this goes for the pursuit of wealth or increasing your income or woe is me, I'm so miserable, the government's enslaving me and life is miserable, or I had a terrible upbringing or whatever it may be. Family was abusing drugs, this, that, and the other. And of course, some people have it easier than others. But if you shift that mindset away from the victimhood towards empowerment, you can actually leverage that struggle to make you better and to give you character and to really push you to pursue your goals and your dreams. I'm really big on the concept of being anti-fragile. So right, you have resilience, which is you're able to go through struggle or adversity and you make it through to the other side. But being anti-fragile, you actually get stronger on the other side. But like I said, I think it's just easier for the woe is me mentality because you don't have to pull yourself up by the bootstraps and actually put some work in. And like you said, we're always still learning. I'm big on Russell Brunson as well. Got that linchpin book. It's funny what we were talking about. The core of that book is to give away stuff for free. This guy, Alex Hormozy, too, his whole thing is like, he did this.
I got to get his
webinar.
New book, too.
Yeah, he had like 500,000 people register for the webinar. A bunch of people showed up live, probably like breaking records. And he gave this incredible pitch using Russell Brunson's Perfect Webinar, which is an incredible model that we use here at Live Free Academy. And at the end of the pitch, he's already like queuing it up. And he's like, you know, I'm not going to charge you $29.97. And I was thinking like, okay, he's probably going to charge $297 because Brunson teaches a 10-to-1 ratio the value stack. Anybody can learn all this stuff and apply it with just about anything. And he turns around and I'm already like about to pull out the card and like, take my money. You got me sold. And he just gives the dang thing away for free.
Yeah, to everybody who was there. Yeah.
To every single person and everyone. And then they showed like the Zoom participants' faces. And me and Ryan, who works with us here, we were both watching, like messaging each other like, oh my God. But he made a big splash. People are still talking about it. And the
people are still, they were talking about all over the internet. Now, if you're not in these kinds of circles, you didn't see this at all. But everybody who was in business, marketing, whatever, were all talking about Alex Hormozy. And some of them were upset. How dare he give all this away for free? So he did the right thing. He got everybody talking about him. Now, I haven't followed it enough to know what the other side of this is or how he comes out ahead. I'm sure there's a way, and that's not even the point, but it's just that he made a huge splash by doing that.
Yeah, well, he's worth $100 million. That's why his whole thing is $100 million offers, $100 million leads. And I was just watching some old Russell Brunson video where he really preached up Alex Hormozy. He's like, he did $10 million on a funnel. So his whole story is like, he was a gym owner. He managed to really blow up his gym. And then he would fly around teaching other people to grow their gyms. And it's like, any new income you have, you split it with me. But he realized he was exhausting himself. And he finally came to the realization that he could just teach people and train people and let them license his assets. Anyway, totally blew up. And now his whole thing is to acquire businesses and to invest in businesses. So his interest in just giving stuff away for free is to help people be more successful. So potentially someday he might be able to invest in the business. But he did all of that through online coaching, online courses. And I know a big part of what you do is just teaching people like, hey man, all you gotta do is develop an email list, have some product that's worth a damn, and you could really build something special with it. It doesn't even have to turn into some big giant business that takes all your time. It could be a side hustle, but I took that route when I started building an email list, when I set up a lead magnet, and it dramatically changed my life and my family's life for the better, like made a world of difference taking this material that's out there, much of it for free, and actually applying it. And being aware that it's going to be a struggle in the beginning, it's going to be hard. There's going to be a small audience that's watching. You'll go live and there'll be two or three people. I used to do events and there'd be like two people that show up. And I always had a camcorder recording it because I was like, all right, even if a couple people show up, we'll still be able to record it and put it online. But I think anybody could do that. They just have to believe in themselves and push through the struggle. The persistence really is the big difference maker when it comes to success and failure.
Hey, everybody, let's take a minute to thank our sponsor, Persist SEO. If you are getting buried by your competition online, then build your brand, your reputation, and your lead flow with digital marketing by Persist SEO. If you are a small local business trying to compete against large companies in the service industry, then increase your visibility with Persist SEO. What if you have low or no leads coming in on a consistent basis? Well, then website search engine and conversion optimization can help move the needle to a more prosperous business model for you. Are you tired of cold calling and networking, meeting places getting shut down? Use your website as a lead generation engine. Or what if you're not showing up for your services in the search engines? Well, get found with Persist SEO's expert search engine optimization. All you have to do is call 770-580-3736 or visit them at ineedseo.help for a free website audit and consultation. That's 770-580-3736 or ineedseo.help. As I say, you are kind of the people who surround you. This year, I started a business mastermind. We're having our second meeting in Chicago in mid-October. And I've gotten to know these guys really well. And they're in all different industries, all different industries. One of them does commercial real estate. And he says, I know you've all been told commercial real estate is going to be in the tank because of this and that. He says, there are about two categories of commercial real estate that's true of. But he's got it down to a science, exactly which properties are going to make him money. He knows exactly how to do it. And now he's, in a way, so bored with it that he's going to create an academy to teach other people how to do it. And so I know that if I ever wanted to do that, I know the exact person who would be glad to sit down with me and talk to me about it. I have another guy in the mastermind who, just like Hormozy, he buys businesses and he knows exactly what to look for. He doesn't want to build them from scratch. He says, I don't know how to do that. I don't want to do that. But I know how to find a business for sale that's going to be good for me. And I was talking to him about an idea that I had of a category of business I could buy. And I'm totally new at this. And he said to me, oh, do not do that. That is absolutely the wrong approach to take. Do not buy one of those businesses. If you ever want to buy a business, I'll sit down with you. We'll talk it through and I'll help you. So I'm now surrounded by people who could take me to the next level if I had the time and inclination to do it. And so, yeah, and you know, it's expensive to join my mastermind, but that alone pays for it 10 times over. And so I've gotten to a point where if a course costs me, let's say $1,000, but in looking at it, I say to myself, but this could bring in six figures for me. I don't consider the $1,000 to be a cost to me. Mm-hmm. It's not a cost. It's a deduction from the return I'm going to make on it. And the same thing goes with this mastermind. We had a guy named Marlon Sanders at our mastermind. This guy has been selling stuff online since before people thought you could do that. Like in the 1990s, wait a minute, you're going to sell something on this? I thought we were just going to, you know, whatever we were going to do, you know, send emails or something. And he's been there forever. He's in his mid to late 60s and he's loud. He's like, he's got the loud, cantankerous old man persona down to a T. And he was sitting there in this mastermind. We were in the penthouse at the Lotte New York Palace, one of the great historic hotels in New York. We were on the top and he was up there and hollering at everybody, but they're all frantically taking notes. And before we could even get on the plane to go home, we hadn't even gotten on the plane to go home, and Marlon had written a 26-page memo for everybody, laying out exactly what their action steps should be, the books they needed to read that they better do in time for the next meeting. They all walked away with 10 times what they invested. Mm-hmm. So if, you know, again, if you're surrounded by good people, good things are going to happen for you.
Yeah, and the mindset piece, it's just you look at the same phenomenon differently and it totally makes a difference in people that make it and that don't. Like you're just looking for that nugget. I recently bought a workshop on webinars that Grant Cardone's audience put out and it was $9.97. And I was hesitant at first, but then I realized like we make a good bulk of our revenue at Live Free Academy from doing these free webinars. And so if I'm able to just find one or two nuggets that are able to give me that slight edge, even if we produce 5% or 10% more in revenue, it easily pays for itself. And so again, people just got to think about investing in themselves. I know for sure that a big differentiator in success was starting to invest in myself. I'm a big fan of Dan Kennedy. He's an old school direct marketing guy. Russell Brunson, the .com secrets guy, ClickFunnels guy, is a student of Dan Kennedy. And I do his monthly diamond membership. It's like $297 a month, which just a couple of years ago would have been like, that's ridiculous. I'm not going to invest $300 every single month on top of going to all the conferences and all that stuff. But it makes a big difference. And when you invest in yourself, I mean, I guess sometimes people don't value themselves enough to invest in themselves, but they'll spend money on Starbucks and on Netflix and all sorts of stuff, or the new iPhone, $1,000. I don't know how much it costs. You pay it over payments, I guess. Probably more than 1,000 nowadays, but people are willing to invest in that, but they're not willing to take the course that could dramatically change their lives.
And well, so let me really jump in here though, because you were at a very low point in a number of ways, but particularly financially. Mm-hmm. So the question would be, how did you invest in yourself when you had nothing? I mean, that's not a rhetorical question. How do you do that?
Well, we took over this bookstore and operated for 2 years called Brave New Books, the libertarian conspiracy bookstore. We sold natural health products, which was able to keep us afloat because obviously we couldn't compete with Amazon. We had events and such, and that was a draw. It was a very unique bookstore. But really, we did better when we started selling Kratom, which, by the way, I set up a free lead magnet. You get a free ounce, pay $5 shipping and handling. And then I came on your program. And that actually was a huge momentum booster. Talk about the Tom Woods bump for my entrepreneurial life. And it was just me running the whole company at the time. So I literally stayed up, I don't know, 4 days in a row till 3 or 4 a.m. packaging and shipping all the orders. It was absolutely nuts. But I was committed to making it happen. But the bookstore didn't end up working. We fell behind on rent a couple months, which was a struggle. We caught back up, but the damage had already been done and the landlord chose not to renew the lease. And this was like ultimate low point. My marriage fell apart, separated with the ex-wife, had 2 kids. So that was a struggle, having children and separating and ultimately divorcing, and was completely in a financial rut. Had to move back in with my parents, right? But the whole time, even though I was completely down and out, I believed in myself. I knew that I was destined for entrepreneurial greatness. And now, mind you, there had been other endeavors that had failed before. So people often see the overnight success, right? But they don't see the graveyard of failures and struggles and lessons. But with those struggles and adversity and failure come the greatest lessons. And you have to always be looking for that wisdom to gain, not only from others, but from your own experience. So I continue to believe in myself. And I just want to reiterate like what you said about the people that you surround yourself with. So I was in a very toxic relationship. And it's most definitely difficult to succeed when there's constant friction, pain, stress, and anguish. And that doesn't have to be a significant other. It could be friends. It could be being around a group that's constantly drinking or doing drugs or just having, just constantly binge watching BS garbage television or listening to songs that glorify poverty kind of deal. It really makes a big difference what you choose to focus your energy and attention on. But I just kept at it. I kept on learning, because obviously when you invest in something, you pay for a course, it's methodical, it's put together, it's a system really, and it tends to be more comprehensive than free stuff online. But let's be real, there's so much awesome content on YouTube. There's so many books. You go to the Half Price, the used bookstore.
You can go to the library even. I mean, you
go to the library, check it out.
There are libertarian objections to libraries, but that's not the point.
Yeah, you just got to keep consuming the material. But it's one thing to watch it, because like I had gone down the Tony Robbins and the Buddhism, and I knew the material, but it's a completely different thing to actually apply the material in your life. And I think mindfulness was a big difference maker for me, because I was researching, you know, don't lose your temper, don't allow negative thoughts about money, don't get down on yourself, don't say everything's too expensive, right? People are like, the movie, it's $12, that's a lot of money. It's like, is $12 really a lot of money compared to the millions of dollars that went into making this incredible movie and this cool facility we get to go experience this thing with? So it's mindfulness, because a lot of people, they read the material, they watch the course, but they're not able to catch themselves in the moment and interrupt those negative thought patterns. And I had an experience with this. Like we host the Greater Reset at this place in Buda, Texas, just south of Austin. And across the street is this store called Zoe Market. And now in 2020, when we did the Greater Reset, we went across the store and met with the owners because they bucked the lockdowns and they opened up their business. And of course, they caught the mob trying to shut them down and cancel them. So we're like, we need to go support them. It's this natural health store and natural grocery store. So I remember going to buy chips when we're doing the event. I look at the chips. I'm like, wow, $8 bag of chips. The old John would have been like, that's ridiculous. How dare they charge that? That's so much money. The new John was like, you know what? These guys are busting their butt to keep their business open through these lockdowns. I'm grateful that I have the financial means to be able to contribute to them, whether it's $8, $4, $12. I don't care. I just want to support this business. And when you can flip the script on yourself and in the moment catch those times when you're being scarce and you're being woe is me, and then you can interrupt that pattern in the moment and say, no, I need to reframe this to a place of abundance, to supporting this business, to supporting my comrades that bucked the lockdowns, right? It really makes a world of difference. So I would encourage people to consume as much free material, but make sure that you're applying it and make sure that you're catching yourself whenever you get back into those old destructive ways of thinking.
Well, another destructive way of thinking is one that I struggle with a lot. And I've got the proof that I struggle with it, and that is perfectionism. So I've started over the past couple of weeks, finally offering a video option for the Tom Woods Show. So people who subscribe, my channel on YouTube is Tom Woods TV. Some of you have noticed that it's actually not just a still shot anymore, it's actually video. Unfortunately, most of my YouTube subscribers haven't realized this yet. So I got to get my YouTube numbers up there a little bit and my video numbers in general, but I am doing video. Well, why did it take me 10 years? This is September 2023 marks 10 years of the Tom Woods Show. Why did it take me 10 years to do this? Well, at first, I was very old school and all podcasters really were old. So there was no point in having video. Nobody did. But then they started to, and I realized that it actually does help with engagement. I realized this a very long time ago, but I didn't do it. I didn't do it because I get in a rut or it needs to be perfect and I wouldn't start it until it was perfect. Or same with the Tom Woods Show itself. I should have started that in 2010 or something. But it had to be perfect. Or yes, it's true that the slowness of the video shows I still have that problem, but not as badly as I used to. So I mentioned Russell Brunson's book, The Linchpin. I really took to heart what he says in that book. He says, there are parts of this system that are quite complicated, but don't feel like you have to have every single piece in place before you start it. Start with what you have and then build extra things on there. And so that's what I'm doing. I don't have all the pieces that he has, but I'll still be better off if I at least get going with it. And this is another, I mean, it can be debilitating to not take the first step until it's going to be perfect, until all the pieces are lined up. I know I'm not the only person who has this problem. And I know there are people listening to me who need to have it drilled into their head. So we all have something that holds us back. And the difference between you and somebody who goes on and achieves his dreams is that you get over that. You get over it. And you realize, you know, I look at other video podcasters and I say, they're not perfect either. That's okay.
Yeah. Yeah. There's a lot of crap out there. And oftentimes it's not the product, it's the ability to market it. But you just got to get going and you learn from experience. And you'll come to realize that people care a lot less about you than you care about yourself. And oftentimes we're just stuck in our head thinking we're going to get judged and people are going to think this and that, but really it's just a bunch of fear, false events appearing real. One thing Cardone talks about, I'm a big fan of Grant Cardone. In fact, Russell Brunson and Grant Cardone have probably more than anyone else played a major influence in my entrepreneurial success in life in general, right? Because when you get that confidence and you get your money game, if you're struggling financially, it really takes a toll on you. And it most definitely takes a toll on your interpersonal relationships, that's for sure. But there's a way out, right? Like just listen to the advice Tom gives and his happy earner stuff. And like this stuff really works. But when it comes to the internet and social media, a lot of it has to do with the consistency and just cranking out content more so than the quality. And you got to look at, just imagine yourself when you're scrolling through Instagram or Facebook or Twitter or whatever, or YouTube, there's so much competition for your attention. Oftentimes, instead of having one polished, perfect video that'll just get drowned out and all the noise, if you just start cranking content and just posting stuff and just speaking your mind and going live, you'll be able to actually have a omnipresence in people's attention and consciousness. And then another thing, a great tactic from Cardone that we use a lot, which is why I like the live workshop so much, right? It's like, all you got to do is put together the landing page. It can be an opt-in page for like a pre-order or join the waiting list, or you just go ahead and put the product together. You don't even have to have the workshop all figured out. But whenever you're like, hey guys, I'm going to be doing this thing. I'm going to teach you A, B, and C. It's really going to help you a lot. Tickets are available right now, $57, $297, whatever it may be. People start buying the tickets. Now you're like, now you're really committed to make this happen. And it kind of forces you to do that. So you don't have to have all the pieces put together, the entire funnel built, all the email sequences, and then the whole workshop online course polished off. You just have to put it out to the world that you're going to offer something of value. If anybody's interested in getting on board, go ahead and purchase a ticket now, or maybe it's even a discounted ticket for the early bird special or whatever. And then when you see, okay, there's some interest, that forces you to make it happen so you don't act out of integrity. But yeah, just get going, just get started, figure it out later. Experience is the greatest teacher.
Boy, that's advice that I actually needed to hear at this particular moment. I'll give you the specifics later when we're done. Let's shift gears a little bit. I do have one other thing I want to ask you about. You, in your, I guess, Kratom business, wound up on the wrong side of a federal, I don't know, effort called Operation Choke Point. I wouldn't want to be on the wrong side of something called Operation Choke Point. Can you talk about that?
Sure. So, I mean, I guess it just underscores this, the importance of persistence. So my first successful business endeavor was Brave Botanicals. It's a natural product made from the powderized leaves of the Kratom evergreen tree. I drink it regularly for stress. It helps really with focus and kind of motivation. Other types help with pain and anxiety and energy. And so it's not very popular with the federal government, in large part because a lot of people take this natural medicine instead of pharmaceuticals. So for example, a lot of people that are dependent on opioids, because we have this huge opioid crisis still going on to this day, even though there's all these great documentaries on Netflix about OxyContin and stuff, it still persists, which I always get a kick out of. It's like, all right, we expose this criminals and all this terrible stuff, but it's still so prevalent in society. Anyway, the government doesn't like it because people stop taking pharmaceuticals or take less pharmaceuticals. And of course, everybody's aware of the revolving door, more so now after COVID. Long story short, this program under the Department of Justice under Barack Obama called Operation Choke Point sought to mitigate money laundering with payday lenders. That's what they said the mission was. Of course, it was mission creep. And as time goes on, it ends up being the federal government pressuring banks, which in turn pressure credit card companies, not to do business with undesirable industries. These include Kratom, CBD, head shops, adult toy stores, firearms manufacturers. And so I found myself in a pretty big predicament as business was really picking up. I started really mastering Facebook advertising, and then they banned my Facebook ad account. And they started to block all of my ability to accept credit cards. So when I was still doing the brick and mortar, Brave New Books, we had a classic credit card terminal and some representative that did our credit card processing. I got banned for that, for selling Kratom. And I was like, well, let me try to switch over to Stripe, incorporated with Shopify, our online store we used as a point of sale too. Got banned from that. Let me ask my roommate if we can use his account and maybe we could start fresh and just not put the word Kratom on. His account got shut down. Then I learned I could do PayPal. I could capture the credit card information securely in two different places and then send myself a PayPal invoice. And I had like five or six different dummy accounts. So I would generate a PayPal invoice and send it rotating through these accounts. PayPal got shut down. Years later, my Live Free Academy PayPal got shut down. And then Square, Cash App, you name it, it all got shut down. And finally, I realized, like, you know what? I'm just going to stop trying to skirt the system. Obviously, they don't want me to be doing credit card processing. So I just started really leaning into Bitcoin and cryptocurrency. And this just really underscores, we talk a lot about central bank digital currencies and the threat of being debanked. But for many people, that's already happening right now. And I was one of those victims. So it underscores the importance of these decentralized, uncontrollable payment platforms. We also leaned into eCheck, which is an electronic check. But, you know, I thought about throwing in the towel many times when I was going through all these struggles. But I'm glad that I persisted because the product really does help a lot of people. I'm able to employ some people, you know, and it accounts for a little chunk of the income that we make in our little Bush empire. But it was definitely a struggle. And I see, like, another bit of advice is like, start going, but just go know ahead of time that you're going to screw things up. You're going to feel uncomfortable. You might even be embarrassed. You're going to make mistakes. But if you're just totally committed to some goal, and it can be a monetary goal, but it's more important to tie that money to what comes with that extra money. Being able to take the family out. Like, one of the big things for me is it just fills my heart with joy that even though I work real hard, you know, and the kids want my attention probably more than they get it, we like do nice lavish vacations. And we went on a cruise recently. I'd never been on a cruise. It was an 8-day cruise, Royal Caribbean. It was awesome. So when you're having that pain, when you're going through the struggle, when you're struggling to figure things out and absolutely exhausted, just really focus on what it is that you want out of life, and it'll help you to push through that. And that's one of the things that I did with this stupid Operation Choke Point song.
Well, as we wrap up, I want to make two more points and then we'll call it a day, just based on what you said. So the first involves goal setting. And I learned this from Ben Settle, and I think it's really good advice for everybody listening. We all should have goals and we should do a goal setting exercise. But sometimes people set the goals in a way that's only going to frustrate them. So for instance, if you want to lose weight, your goal should be less, I'm going to lose 50 pounds in this amount of time. It should instead be, I'm going to go to the gym X times per week. I'm going to cut out such and such from my diet, because those things are directly in your control. How many pounds actually fall off your body is only secondary. It's not directly in your control. So keep focused on the things you have control over, and that will keep you encouraged to keep moving forward because you see yourself doing the healthy thing. So it's just a matter of time. Likewise, earning money. Instead of saying, well, in my first year on this online business, I'm going to try to make 50K out of it. Instead, you say, in this first year, I'm going to try to get 3 articles a month published on a highly read website, or 2 videos a month, or 2 videos a week, or whatever. Because that's in your control. The amount of money you're going to generate is not really in your control. I mean, it's sort of, it's indirectly related to what you do, but you have direct control only over your actions. So make the goals be that you're going to do something, and then you see where the, you know, what your ultimate aspiration would be to lose a certain amount of weight or to earn a certain amount of money. That will follow from your being consistent with yourself and with your own goals that you've laid out. So that's what I kind of try to do. I don't say I'd like to have X many people listening to the show through podcast apps or something, which is where most of my listeners are still listening on audio. I just say instead, I'm going to introduce this innovation into the show, or I'm going to do this, or I'm going to do that. Those things that I can do are how I set my goals. The second thing is, John, we would be remiss if we didn't sell something. After all, this thing about don't be afraid to sell things. Don't be afraid to offer services in exchange for money. Well, we're not, and we're going to put our money where our mouths are here. So you talked about how in your situation with Operation Choke Point, really the only option you had was at that time was to say people pay with Bitcoin. And they were able to do that, and you were able to stay afloat. Now, most people still don't know anything about Bitcoin. Like, you and I move in circles where that's not true. But remember, the circles you and I move in are very weird and unusual. They're not representative of American society. And there are a lot of people who would like to kind of know a little bit about Bitcoin, let's say, but they don't, I mean, I don't, like, I'm too old to figure it out, or it's too complicated, or forget it. And I don't want to get into the middle of something I don't understand. So apparently you have a thing for people like that.
Yeah. It's called the Bitcoin Basics for Boomers and Beginners Workshop. And of course, I say boomers with all due respect. In fact, I realized that a large majority of my audience at Live Free Academy are folks that are quite a bit older than me, which is great because I get to soak up all the wisdom from the community. But I recognize there's a lot of people that didn't grow up with computers like I did. Like, I remember Windows 95, my dad had it, we had it in the living room, and I was going on AOL, connecting at 14.4 kbps, and then my mom would pick up the phone, and I'd lose the connection.
I remember that. My parents eventually let me have my own phone number, so that I could continue with my stupid dial-up, and they could go about their lives.
There you go. So, you know, I recognize there's a lot of people that didn't grow up with computers, and they never became very comfortable with them. Maybe they were able to figure out email, or maybe not, right? So I believe that us learning these tools, Bitcoin, privacy coins like Monero, it's fundamentally important because this central bank digital currency system, whether we like it or not, it's coming. Could take 2-3 years, maybe even more. There's this big year 2030 that the United Nations, the World Economic Forum, they're all pushing for all these changes by 2030. 2020 to 2030 is going to be a decade of transformation. But regardless, there's people being debanked. This whole thing's going to get tied in with the carbon allowance and the carbon agenda. The CBDC plus the carbon allowance is really a recipe for nightmare. So what we're trying to do is teach people to use Bitcoin to purchase it, both privately without having to scan your driver's license, totally legal. There's some strategies to do that. Or if you want to use Coinbase or Strike, whatever website you want to use, there's ways to do that as well. So we're going to teach people how to acquire it, how to send and receive it. And I'm going to encourage people to use it in commerce because it's not like buy the Bitcoin, number go up, let's all get rich. That's an element of it. And I do think the price of Bitcoin is going to rise substantially more than likely in the future. It's more likely to go up quite a bit than it is to go down and crash crazy style. But it's more about using this as a tool for financial sovereignty. So we're going to teach people all that. We're going to teach people how to set up a non-custodial wallet. And the lessons will be done in a very slow and methodical way, little bite-sized segments where we pause, make sure everybody's up to date. People get lifetime access to the replay. I actually have the ability to pull it up there on the screen. So Bitcoin Basics for Boomers and Beginners. I'll let you share the link there, Mr. Tom. And people are able to hop on board with this workshop. You could pay a one-time payment or you could split it into 3 payments. We have a 30-day money-back guarantee. There's also a higher package we're calling the Stealth Wealth Package. We're going to do an entire masterclass on using cryptocurrency privately and opting out of the system, navigating around that. So I've done multiple cryptocurrency Bitcoin workshops in the past, and I think this is going to be some of my best work. And the big key difference is, like I said, I'm going to not let any technical jargon or babble get in the way, and I'm going to teach it in the most simple, slow, and methodical way to whether someone's 8 years old or 80 years old, they'll be able to understand it, and they'll be able to onboard into this really critical technology.
All right, so we decided on tomwoods.com/bit as the easiest, fewest characters people would possibly have to type in to get there, because I always use tomwoods.com/whatever. When I want to get people somewhere. So bit was the shortest we could come up with. tomwoods.com/bit. Go check that out. John is able to talk to the everyman, even though he's got a brain, he's got an IQ of about 973. He can still talk to the everyman, and it's a rare combination to have both those things. All right, well, that was a good conversation. I mean, we probably went off the original Oliver Anthony thing about 1/5 of the way through, but it was a good jumping off point to talk about a lot of very important things. So check out tomwoods.com/bit. And John, great talking to you. I love your background that you have there behind you. And thanks so much. Talk to you soon.
Thanks, Tom.
And thank you, ladies and gentlemen.
Become a smarter libertarian in just 30 minutes a day. Visit tomwoods.com to subscribe to the show for free, and we'll see you next time.
Like the sound of the Tom Woods Show? My audio production is provided by Podsworth Media. Check them out at podsworth.com.